I'm one of those people that ride the causeway. I try to get my exercise in and stay healthy, but I tend to ride on my own. And I very quickly discovered that the deaths were happening not by large groups being hit, but by one or two cyclists riding alone. And it seemed like it could happen to anyone.
Did you ever have a close call?
I have been hit 3 times in my life, usually at slow speeds by people not coming out of a driveway watching or something. Thankfully, it's been very minor, but I have had close calls. People are funny. Sometimes out in the Redlands, which is the south part of the county, there was one time I remember a couple of guys in a pickup truck. There was no one on the road at all, and they definitely came toward me just to see if they could freak me out. It's a strange place riding a bike on the road.
And what about on the Rickenbacker Causeway?
On the Rickenbacker Causeway, I have thankfully been unscathed so far. I have witnessed a number of situations, which is what led me to the initial solution, which is that the space of driving and the space of riding converge in and out of the bridges. So there's 3 lanes that go into 2 lanes. If you're in that right-hand lane as a driver and you're not paying attention, you literally drive into the bike lane. So there's a merge point that people don't realize because the bridge is wide enough to handle 3 lanes if you were to look at it like that. And unfortunately, the deaths have all occurred either on or coming off the bridge. They've been early morning, and they have been very, very tragic and unfortunate circumstances for the victim as well as the driver, which has tend to be a young person acting foolishly.
Briefly describe the first plan, the first version, which was just Plan Z.
Well, the first version was a plan driven mostly by let's do something right away, which is still part of the new version. The thinking was let's go ahead and paint the bike lane green. Let's put up the lane separators like you would see along the highway in the HOV lane. And let's do something right away so that we can at least keep people safe. But the problem was is that it seems that there is not a unanimous support for the idea that some of that lane could be modified in order to make more room for the cyclists. So my idea initially was let's make it 2 lanes all the way out, because when you get to Crandon Boulevard, where the park and the tennis center are, by state law, it can never be more than 2 lanes. So my thinking was, let's just make it 2 lanes. Let's take the existing paved area. Let's make it the bike lane. Let's separate it. It hardly costs any money. And that way we have separation at low cost.
So what was it that changed? Because you took this before different area. God, I keep hitting this thing, sorry. What was it that changed then? Because you've taken this before area leaders and there was enthusiasm for it, but then they said, well, it's not realistic or it's not something we could do. Didn't they tell you, come back, pretend that money's no issue, come back with another plan?
Well, that again, Miami is a place that does not have a single mindset. And the Rickenbacker Causeway is owned and controlled by the county. The village of Key Biscayne is at the end of the ride. The city of Miami is at the beginning of the ride. And the city of Miami and the state of Florida also own land on the causeway. So the difficulty came in trying to get an alignment of point of view. So everyone says that they're in favor of bicycle safety, but when it comes time to having any bit of change to what they're used to, that's always where the rub occurs. People are adverse to change. And the comment was, well, that's all well and good, but does that mean it's going to take me more time to get home? Does that mean that I'm going to have a change in my speed limit? Does that mean that when traffic gets bad, I'm going to have to wait longer? You need to come up with a plan that really doesn't have any of those negative impacts, and then I can get behind it, which is what was the stimulation for 2.0.
And I want to know about how much they're getting behind this one, because from what I've seen, you know, this is, again, you've got these dedicated lanes for cyclists and pedestrians, and it would connect, I believe, with the upcoming Underline project.
Yes.
There would be a sky bridge entering the Rickenbacker, and then eventually an observation deck. What is a project like this going to cost?
Well, I'm not really prepared to give an opinion about that because it's a point of diminishing returns to talk about the overall cost. So let's break this down into what the real issues are. We invest as a community a huge amount of money in our infrastructure. We build highways with dedicated funding. We have transit that never has enough funding. But part of the way that people move is they walk and they ride the bicycle. One of the attributes that is really important to this overall scheme and what frames up the whole thing even beyond the Rickenbacker is that we have a tremendous amount of land area in our country, in our county, in our city, dedicated to infrastructure, and it has only a singular purpose, which is traffic mitigation and drive lanes for cars. What I discovered on the Rickenbacker is that when I make it safe for the cyclist and the runner, I actually, if I can realign how all of the land of the causeway is utilized, we can actually gain a 20-acre park in a county that has a significant deficit in open space, and we can separate out the rider and the driver 100% of the time. That was the mission of Plan Z version 2. So number one, let's not just keep all the asphalt where it is. Let's think about how we could reorganize it to get a better result. And the easy answer is if I put all the bicycles and the runners on the south side of the causeway, and I put all of the drivers on the north side of the causeway, I accomplish something really amazing. One is, from the standpoint of the concern of people that were not in support of version one, I have a positive impact on traffic flow, and I have no lane reductions, and I have no speed reductions.
You presented this recently.
Yes.
To the Miami-Dade Commission?
To Miami-Dade, to City Miami, to Key Biscayne, to MPO, to Citizens Transportation
All
Trust.
Right, what are you hearing from them? What are they saying and what are they asking?
What they're saying is everyone supports. They're concerned about what it costs. And my answer is, let's break it down into parts. Because what it costs is an aspirational plan. What it really costs is a matter of which part we take down first. So if we're talking about realigning the roadway and creating new lanes for bicycles and reworking the lanes for cars, that's a roadway cost. And I would say that based on what I've been able to get back from estimating done by contractors who do this every day, that's in the tens of millions. If we want to start removing bridges and replacing them, that's in the hundreds of millions. If we want to talk about creating bicycle infrastructure like safe overpass lanes, that's also in the tens of millions. So the actual improvement to 20 acres of park, zero. We can get 20 acres of waterfront park with no cost. What we need to do is spend the money to plant the trees and create the activities. But the land is already owned. The acquisition costs are zero. All we have are construction costs. So when you look at what is an acre of waterfront property in Miami worth, I would say that in terms of the benefit that comes back to the overall community of 20 acres of new park, safe recreational areas, the most popular, by the way, in the entire state of Florida to ride is the Rickenbacker Causeway. So I'd say that we need to have a serious conversation about what parts do we want to do and how do we pay for it.
But what have you heard so far? When you explain that to lawmakers, what are they saying to you so far?
Well, it depends who I'm talking to. I hear a universal acceptance of the idea that this plan will work for both the driving community, the cycling community, and to the benefit of the overall community. So I think the good news is, for the first time, there is, in fact, a universal support by all parties that this is a plan that, if it were to be implemented, it would really work. The part that I hear from Citizens Transportation Trust, MPO, City of Miami, Dade County Parks, is we need to get serious about this so we can begin to develop a schedule on how we can take this down one piece at a time, make it safe right away, and start implementing the park. What I hear from the village of Key Biscayne is we'd like to understand more about what the impact is, but it seems like it would work. So the good news is, as I said, I'm hearing a kind of universal response that the plan itself is, yes, aspirational, but it is also a plan that would work. Now, having said that, there's something very interesting that happens. And now I'm going to wax a little philosophical, perhaps. Here in Miami, we tend to really fall in love with what's glamorous, with what's exciting, which is what is iconic. And one of the interesting feedbacks that I've received to the plan is that people are very excited about the iconic and aspirational nature of the plan. Miami, in particular, is one of the unsafest cities in the entire country to ride a bicycle. This is a major statement about where we want to be as a community. We have thousands and thousands of cyclists that use it. We have runners that use it. To go ahead and make an iconic infrastructure improvement is significant.
But listening to you say that, I hear a but.
Well, what is your but?
Well, that's what I mean. I hear a but. But it's an iconic idea. Yes, people fall in love with the glamour, but there's a problem usually trying to create those ideas and bring some of those, manifest some of those ideas. It doesn't always happen here.
Right. And that is the but. So here's what's happening when we look at it from a bigger picture. All of a sudden, in the last 4 or 5 years, there's the Plan Z that I've been working on. Meg Daly's been working on Underline. Victor Dover and gang have been working on Ludlam Trail. And it's not just us as individuals. I want to, really talk about all the great volunteers that are part of everybody's program. We are coming together as a segment of this community that is really very, very tied into the idea that we have to change the fundamentals of how we move around, and we have to be respectful of the fact that there are options to sitting in traffic and just having our air-conditioned life control every aspect of our life. Miami is a place where we have a few industries. We have tourism, we have construction, and we have the sale of condos. We have some international banking. We don't make anything. We're not a tech center. We're not a biotech center. We're not any of those aspects. And we're losing our kids to other cities. We have a bigger issue here when it comes to the next generation, current generation of millennials and the next generation coming up. We have to become a city that doesn't just look like we're a glamorous city in the world. We have to truly become a progressive city of the world. And when you look at it from that point of view, this idea of connecting the entire city with bicycle infrastructure, running infrastructure, pedestrian infrastructure, that's what Atlanta did with the Beltway. And it has transformed that city. Investment is happening everywhere. When Meg is finally successful in the Underline, there's going to be new development along what is now the underside of the Metro Rail. There's going to be new opportunities throughout the city. It's going to inspire people and make them excited. And that's part of what we're after.
What do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle in getting this started?
I think the biggest obstacle is apathy in terms of we as locals and how we see ourselves and how we see our own limitations. I'm old enough to remember being part of the movement in the early days of creating the Art Deco district for South Beach. And it's not inconsequential that the people who came in and bought the buildings and saw the value were people from out of state, especially New Yorkers. The locals thought Miami Beach was a pit. It was filled with crime. Who would ever want to go there? Those buildings aren't worth anything. I think we have a habit of underestimating our own value, and I think that the inspiration and the ideas need to come from within our local community as much as they come from the international community. And I think when we see ourselves that way and we truly believe it, then our feeling of insecurity and all the other aspects that are too psychological to talk to in a quick radio program. Be happy to have a long conversation with you about that. I think that that's what changes. We need to believe in ourselves and our own ability to make change.
Last couple of things I wanted to ask you. We talk about Meg in the underline. I've had the chance to talk to her about her plans and what she wants to do. She has in her mind a timeline. She thinks within a decade, a lot of that could happen. Do you think that way? Do you think in terms of years when this could become a reality?
I think in terms of months and in terms of years. I think in terms of making it safe to ride so people stop dying is our number one priority. And I think that should happen immediately. The county has, in terms of support, they have put forward a TAP grant in order to fund painting the bicycle lanes green and getting some level of separation right away. In terms of this big plan, I think that there's a whole other structure that we could begin to look to. If we as a community, and I've had this told to me by elected officials, what we need to do is a geo bond. And the bond should pay for alternative infrastructure that would allow for our community for the first time ever to become not only safe but connected through bicycles and through other pedestrian and running paths, through recreation and wellness. And we are totally behind that idea. We've spent time personally with Meg and Victor and Tony and others in the community talking about what would it take to get something on the ballot for a geo bond. Because I think if we had the funding, we're very close to having the design work done so that we could begin to implement these things very quickly.
Let me finish on this. I wanted to know about really... Do you see more momentum now for this because of the fact that really, the cycling and bicycle safety movement really has become even more important, especially recently with the accidents that I mentioned? I'm wondering if the bike sharing system that's been around for the last several years, if that also hasn't really kind of spawned more of this conversation, because now is when I'm meeting people like you and Meg and others who really are pushing this a lot now.
I think what we've discovered is that old habits die hard. We are a group of people that are very used to the way that we live down here with an air-conditioned environment at all moments and times. We want to have a more vital and robust connection with our natural environment. We want to be able to commute and enjoy ourselves in a way that is different. And we are absolutely certain that our kids want to do that. So I would say that it's happening with bike share, which is a response, not a catalyst. I think bike share is a response to that desire. If you go to New York City, half of the streets have been converted into plazas with people sitting in lawn chairs in the middle of Times Square. In a week, I'm heading out to Copenhagen because I want to see with my own eyes what the most bicycle-friendly city in the world looks like. And they have been building bridges and infrastructure specifically to enhance that. And you know what's an interesting statistic? 55% of the people in Copenhagen get around by bicycle. Think about that. We have flat roads. We have perfect weather. We have all kinds of attributes here that we could really be a connected community. And for some reason, there's resistance to this idea. I think that once there's a certain tipping point, I think we're going to find an acceleration toward the implementation of my plan, Meg's plan, and all the other plans, because people will begin to see that this has a huge value for us, and they're going to want to fund it, and they're going to want to use it.